Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brian Geisinger, our Mr. Basketball, 24/7 Sports BuzzBeat podcast, and all about that. Let's get smarter about the beautiful game that isn't soccer, the beautiful game that's basically played with your hands. And Brian Geisinger joins us on the Adam Gold Show. All right, let's start with the Wolfpack. We just talked to Kevin Keats. I think their half-court defense has been as good, maybe better than it's been all year long. Why are they still playing?
I mean, I think it's a big part of it is the defense. But offensively, they've obviously had some like really strong performances over the last 2 weeks too. But I just think defensively, this is as consistently good as they've been. Since the jump this season against some really good offenses. Like, and I know, you know, Oakland's probably an offense that charted, you know, outside the top 100 or whatever in terms of, you know, nationwide efficiency. But you've got Trey Townsend, the player of the year in the Horizon League.
Yeah.
You know, what he's able to do on the low block. He hit some incredibly tough shots in that game with the, you know, the Jack Golke show and how they do a really good job, like, playing those two guys off of one another with their screening actions and how they space. Now, they did a nice job, just, like, for the most part, like, hanging in that one. Defense was very good against Texas Tech, which is a good offense. We talked about that a little bit last Friday. And I think the linchpin of that is Mo Diarra, who's just sort of everywhere.
Right.
Obviously, the defensive rebounding, but the rim protection has been good. I mean, this guy's really, I think, it helped sort of like anchor the defense with some of his shot blocking. And so he's taking the, you know, often the toughest assignment defensively, and, you know, in terms of like front court matchups. And I'm sure he'll get the Oso Iguodaro matchup when they play Marquette later this week. That would be my guess. Of course, Marquette, tons of weapons and a really high powered offense. So it'll be a lot to deal with there. And I think a guy like Casey Morcell has really stepped up, taken the challenge of some of these matchups, whether that was RJ Davis against
UNC,
that was the Jack Golke, you know, chasing him off, you know, 200 screens over the course of a game or whatever. So I think all of those guys have really bought in. And I think on offense, there's just a formula right now where it's Burns and Horn, and then they get enough secondary shot making from O'Connell, who had some big plays, and Taylor, who had a couple big threes. And then Diarra, who doesn't, you know, he's not like a huge, you know, high usage offensive player, but he's been pretty automatic, you know, around the basket over the last 2 weeks. So, like, everyone, there's just no weak spots, I think, on either, certainly on offense. And then defensively, they can do enough to sort of, like, paper over Burns. And if Middlebrooks is in, then they've got five, I think, like, good to very good defenders in the case of Diarra.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. Middlebrooks, who was, I don't even know how to describe what happened against Texas Tech. I can't. I mean, he was just ridiculous in that game offensively. Only plays 13 minutes, but I thought, I mean, it seemed like he played more. It just seemed like his minutes were very impactful. And yes, he ultimately fouled out, and they played the overtime, right, without both Middlebrooks and Mo Diarra, who also fouled out.
It was like the last 2.5 minutes. The DR fouled out with about 2:30 to play in overtime.
Okay.
And that was when they went four guards. And that lineup, the Jaden Taylor, Michael O'Connell, DJ Horn, Casey Morcell, DJ Burns, they were awesome to close it out. They were +7 with that line. You know, they were down one when DR left after the two free throws. That lineup goes +7 over the last 2 minutes and change. And that's a lineup that's been very good for them in a relatively small sample this season.
Brian Geisinger, our Mr. Basketball, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. You know, there were two numbers that jumped out to me about the Wolfpack, and we'll kind of close on this and move over to Duke. The The first is the fact that DJ Burns played 42 minutes. I mean, it's an amazing number for me. And the second is that DJ Horn went 40 minutes between field goals. Mm-hmm. There's no way I would have said they had any chance if DJ Horn was going 40 minutes between buckets. So what do you make of where State is given those two numbers?
Oh, man.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. You have a 401k, but you're changing jobs. You're taking that 401k with you. Next step.
Well, a lot of people leave it behind, which is not a good thing. I mean, if you're not at the company anymore, your 401k shouldn't either. That's when it's time for my 401k survival
box set.
You see it right here. I've got workbooks, guidebooks, DVDs in here that explain everything about your 401k. More importantly, how to build a lifetime income. It's a $300 value. I'm also going to give you a total retirement plan, which is a $1,000 value for the next 18 of you who call right now. No cost or obligation.
Call 888-843-0013 or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
It speaks to, one, how the defense is giving them, like, probably just a higher two-way floor, right? Like, they can actually, like, go stretches of time when the offense isn't humming, and they can just stay in games. I think it does speak to just like how good Burns has been as like a hub offensively. And that guy's like, Jaden Taylor did shoot the ball pretty well the last like month or so, but you know, he's kept that up. And then O'Connell had some huge plays in this game as well. I mean, the one and one drive was like, I mean, if I were Michael O'Connell, I would just watch the loop of that for the next 6 years of my life. I would do nothing else. I wouldn't get a job. I don't know if I would finish my degree. I would just watch that highlight. Like that was incredible. But and I think it also has to do with the fact that, like, even when DJ Horn, even if he goes 40 minutes, he could go 80 minutes without a basket. Teams still have to guard him,
yeah.
Right? And, like, that was the way that Oakland matchup zone was set up, it was – worry about Burns, and then the next thing though was like if help is going to come on Burns, it's not going to be off Horn. Like that, the help was never coming from DJ to the other DJ. So that means the teams have to guard him no matter what because he's that kind of shooter. And then I thought when they needed him to like give a spark, he had those two possessions, maybe back to back or two out of three possessions in overtime. He had the one drive where he was able to get downhill against the zone. And then hit Burns for probably the easiest layup that Burns had all game.
Right.
And then the next one was he hit the little, like, corner jumper, short corner jumper against the zone, too. So, like, teams have to guard him. And you know at any point in time, he can get hot. I think the big deal for him, this was maybe a little bit less true except for that one play against Oakland, and it's a different story because of how they defend with the matchup zone. I think DJ Horn's drives have been really meaningful for this team. And I think he's just putting his head down against Texas Tech. Like, I mean, he was jabbing and going and, you know, finishing at the rim or hitting Middlebrooks, you know, the hoop for finishes. Like, I think that he's actually like, he's getting better as the year goes along. And he was pretty darn good for most of the season anyways.
Brian Geisinger, our Mr. Basketball. All right, let's move over to Duke. John Shire was looking for toughness. I know people aren't going to say, well, you know, it's just James Madison and it's just Vermont. I would say, I don't care who you beat in the NCAA tournament. They did enough to get where they are. JMU had only lost three times all year. They were 32-3, coming in before last night. So that's a good win. The Dukes obviously looked the part in their opening win. Are they tough? Or did Duke just, oh my gosh, Jared McCain can't miss?
I mean, I think, you know, JMU was just sort of, you know, they got outclassed a little bit. And it didn't help that, you know, 3 minutes into the game or whatever, Terrence Edwards Jr., you know, picks up two fouls.
Right.
He, of course, didn't pick up another foul for the rest of the game. So, like, maybe should have just kept him out there or just, like, gotten him back in sooner.
Right.
It was basically over by the time he got back. I mean, McCain is just a special shooter. Like, what else can you even say the guy is? He is unbelievably good when he's running off screens. He's hunting those threes in transition. And, like, Duke, it's one of those things where I felt like all season going to games at Cameron that, like, you know, Jared and the fans there, like, had, like, a kind of a relationship. When he got rolling, that place got loud, and he fed off them, they fed off him. I actually think there's, like, a third prong of that, which is that, like, when he's cooking, Duke staff is like, all right, what's all the creative stuff we have to get him the ball? Like what's the new point? They've got, they add stuff in, like, every other game, you know, to get a different look with McCain coming off a flare screen. It's usually Mark Mitchell setting it. And I just thought they had some great looks to get him shots at the, you know, after a timeout or at the end of a half. and it probably does go to show what Duke's offensive ceiling is when McCain is doing that and when Proctor's also hitting shots too.
Yeah.
And, like, all of a sudden they've got two guys that are floating around and can shoot a ton of threes and can make plays with the ball, you know, and can – I wish Proctor had a little bit more, like, downhill to his game.
Yeah.
But when he can get downhill and he's making his connective passes, I thought he had a couple really good, like, swing extra passes. Or he and McCain had that one little, like, cool give and go in transition where McCain got a steal. He threw it up to Proctor. Like, he did a no-look lob hit-ahead pass to Proctor in the right corner. And by the time this, like, lob had landed in Proctor's hands, McCain had caught up and was on the right wing. Proctor immediately kicked it back to him for a catch-and-shoot bomb. And so, yeah, I mean, when Proctor plays like that and Jared's got it going, I mean, you know, they can be basically anyone. It's just it's hard to be as good as they were, you know, offensively shooting. You know, you make 14 threes, it's, you know, you're going to be pretty tough to beat. And I think Houston is a different animal.
It's hard to lose when you're 14 of 28 from three-point range. Just like Oakland beat Kentucky, they went 15 of 31 as a team. You hit half your threes and you shoot 30 times, you're probably going to win the game. All right, so what does the matchup look like against the Cougars?
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, it'll be really tough. I'll be curious to see how Houston deploys Jamal Shedd in this game. You know, he's up there with a guy like Reese Beekman at Virginia for sort of like the best guard on ball point of attack defender in the country. And now, what do you do with him? Do you put him on a guy like McCain and just try to like take him out of some of his movement looks? You could use him on Jeremy Broach if he gets rolling in the pick and roll. Then you could also just keep him on Proctor, who's, you know, the guy sort of like initiating, at least kind of like getting Duke organized and kind of like initiating a lot of their like early pick and roll action. So I'll be curious to see where like he is deployed, because to me he's the leader, he's the best player on this team. So that is a big part for me. I'll be curious to see how Duke handles Houston's physicality.
Yeah.
Like, Houston, this is the number one defense in the country. They do a lot of stuff really well on that side of the floor. But they're not super huge, and they can be dinged on the offensive glass. And they do foul a decent amount, too. So just like, I think a guy like Kyle Filipowski, who is as talented as any player in the country and is months away from being a lottery pick, most likely, you know, they're gonna be really physical with him. And I'll be curious to see, like, how is he able to, one, play 30-plus minutes and not be in foul trouble? And, like, mentally, is he able to stay involved in the game? Because he's just so good at his passing. He's such a difference maker. The ability to pick and pop can really, like, bend coverages, and then he can pass out of that against rotation. So just, like, there's a lot to sort of, like, dig into, but those are at least, like, where my mind starts.
Brian Geisinger, Mr. Basketball here on the Adam Gold Show. All right, real quick. North Carolina just, you know, treated Michigan State like the fly, you know, that was bugging them for about 12 minutes, and then it was obviously one team Only one team was winning that game after they finally got their legs. Once they took the lead, it was over. But now it's Alabama, and we're not going to look beyond that. But what is the mission for UNC against Alabama, who has been, obviously, a really good team now for a couple of years?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of fascinating to see the Alabama offense versus UNC's defense. I mean, this is a matchup of two top five, probably top 10 units in the country in terms of efficiency.
Yeah.
UNC's defense doesn't give up, a high volume of threes, and Alabama is going to take a ton of them. So, like, what do those shots look like? Is Alabama able to sort of, like, bend UNC's drop coverage at all? A guy like Mark Sears, who's had just a phenomenal, you know, I don't know if he was All-American or not. He has been that level of good, though. He's a guy you got to deal with both on and off the ball. Can he shake loose? I'll be curious to see on the other side of the floor how Nate Oates and Alabama handle Elliott Cadeau.
Yeah.
Because that to me is still something that UNC has to the problem solve up around a little bit. And that's not even, I don't want to knock Cadeau because he's really talented and is like a special passer and his drives have been good. And I think he found a role for himself against Michigan State. But Nate Oates does feel like the kind of coach that would really sort of like dial up, sending help elsewhere to like different players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the matchup at center is really fascinating between Grant Nelson and Armando Bacot. I don't know how much you've seen of Nelson. He's a guy that has like NBA potential,
right,
and transferred into North Dakota State. He's like very athletic for center. He's got great size. He's not shot it well this season, but he can, you know, pick and pop. And I'll be curious to see sort of like what his role looks like, helping screen and be involved in the pick and roll game against a UNC drop coverage team that is trying to take away the paint primarily. Sort of similar to like how I think Kyle Filipowski has like a really almost outsized role against that type of coverage when Duke and UNC match up, just because they're like fives that can play in space a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that we get, you know, 3-4 teams into the Elite Eight from the ACC. just so we can go, we could just raise our nose at the Greg Sankeys of the world.
Well, I want the goalpost to continue to move. It's like, you know,
yeah, they do.
If only two ACC teams make the Elite Eight, that'll prove that it was a down year. Yeah, I mean, this has been awesome to see. Like, we didn't even talk about Clemson, but I'm not at all surprised they beat Baylor yesterday. What a first weekend of the tournament for the ACC is really pretty cool to see.
It was amazing. Brian Geisinger, our Mr. Basketball. Follow him on Twitter at BGeis_Bird. I'll talk to you later, man. Thank you.
You guys have a good one.
You too. Brian Geisinger, always the best.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.